Welcome to session four of Be in Health. By His stripes, we were healed. By His stripes, we were healed. Take your Bibles, please, and go to Malachi chapter 4. You know, thinking that someone is going to speak some words over you, or you're going to read a verse of Scripture and believe it and receive supernatural, miraculous healing, it goes against everything in the natural mind. It goes at cross purposes with everything in the carnal mind. Only the spiritually minded person, the person who's thinking like Jesus Christ, who's believing that the Word of God is the will of God, only the spiritually minded person even believes this is possible. So only when we are spiritually minded ourselves do we get into alignment and harmony with God, where we can receive the good things that He wants to give to us, His children. You don't have to turn there, but in Matthew 19:26, this great record is given in the Gospels where Jesus says, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Receiving things from God means you have to take your thinking pattern out of the natural, out of the carnal, and you've got to allow your thoughts to go to a higher place. You've got to feel in your heart, visualize in your heart and in your mind that you are in the presence of God, in the presence of His Son, Jesus Christ. Whether it be at the throne room or sitting under a tree with Jesus talking to you, or wherever you have to go, in your mind's eye to get spiritually minded, to get spiritually minded. The only way we receive anything from God is when we get in alignment and harmony with His spiritual laws, with the truths that He has set in the spirit realm for us to receive the greatness of His Word. Because too many Christians approach their health with a carnal mind. They think somehow if they just read one scripture enough, or if someone prays or ministers to them, that they are going to move God to heal you. Well, if that person says the right words, if I do the right work, I'm going to move God to heal me. That's the problem right there. God already moved 2,000 years ago. God already did everything He's going to do. Everything we need is in heaven waiting, in the spirit realm is what that means, waiting for us simply to bring it over into this realm and to receive it. That's how you got the new birth. That's how you spoke in tongues. And Jesus is the bridge between man and God. All of this comes from God by way or through Jesus Christ, His Son. And in Malachi chapter 4, there's a verse that's given about the future. But for believers, this is a present reality, because you and I are not going to need healing once we have been gathered together. We need our healing now. And I love this verse in Malachi chapter 4 and in verse 2. It says, "But unto you that fear my name." In other words, whenever you think of fear in God's, in respect to God, it's always that word awe, respect, to be astonished at His love and power. It's awesome, awesome. Like our God is an awesome God. We are in reverence that God's power is above all. And when we fear or are in reverence of His name, it means His authority. We get it. We get it. That God is so powerful that if you need a new eyeball, He has no problem speaking to those molecules around your face and just making an eyeball appear. That if you have a sickness, it's nothing for God to His Spirit to move within you and to shut down those negative cells and to bring healing to every part of your body. The way we receive healing is we get spiritually minded. "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in His wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in a stall." Healing in His wings. Psalm 91, we get under the shelter of God's wing. We come into the embrace under the feathers of His wings. This doesn't mean Jesus has feathers. It doesn't mean God has feathers. It's a figure of speech. giving you a mindset that when you crawl up there in Daddy's arms, when you snuggle up next to God's heart, when you're in there in that warm, tender space in your mind and heart, that's when the healing comes. Not when you're out there worried about what the doctor said, not when you're focused on the pain in a certain part of your body, but when you get yourself prepared in your heart and mind, and you get in there, and as I say it, you just scooch up into Daddy's arms. You just crawl up into God's lap. You just allow Him to put His arms around you and hug you and love you with all tenderness. My granny, bless her heart, she always looked kind of like a little human meatball. I mean, she was so cute. She was about 4'11", and I don't know what she weighed, but she was more round than she was tall, and she always had a smile on her face, and she was always cooking good food. And I remember, especially back when I was 4 or 5 years old, when you crawled up in Granny's lap, she didn't have a whole lot of knee showing because she was a little bit of a jolly, rotund woman. But there was just enough knee to get up there in that rocking chair and crawl up on Granny's lap, and I'd put my head next to her heart, and she put her arms around me, and whatever I had just scraped or skint or hurt or whoever had said something mean to me, it all just melted away when I was in Granny's arms. And I'll tell you what, folks, God loves me way better than Granny. God loves you way better than my granny could ever love, as wonderful as she was. He loves you just so unconditionally, so perfectly. When He looked at you, He sees you only with eyes of love. And when we scooch up in there next to Daddy, to the Lord God, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals, we're going to just feel that tenderness, and we grow up as calves in a stall. What does that mean? It means we're completely surrounded and protected. We've got the best hay. Everything we need is provided for us. Another figure of speech of God just showing that tenderness. You know, we live down here where there's lots of farm country. And you see these little baby calves walking on these skinny legs. And, you know, they're just precious. And again, these are figures of speech. These are mind images, things for you to imagine. That God just sees you as that baby colt or that baby calf or that little lamb that just needs His protection, that runs to Him for protection. And that's the crux of the whole matter. This is where the rubber meets the road. Your healing was bought and paid for by Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. You know, there's only 9 records of healing in the whole Old Testament. As fat as the Old Testament is, as much as the Bible as it takes up, I think about 2/3, there's only 9 healings in the Old Testament. There are 66 in the Gospels. There are 10 in the book of Acts. You know what that tells me? And Acts is a pretty skinny book compared to the whole Old Testament. There's more in the book of Acts than from Genesis to Malachi. You know what that tells me? Kaboom! Power came with the new and better covenant. And the key to receiving your healing is just, we're going to harp on this in the class, Lord, I believe. And when you believe, you receive. You believe when you either go to God before the throne yourself and demand in a loving, humble way healing, or when someone ministers to you, your mind is in that place, you've already got it. And whether it comes instantaneously or over a few days, you've got it. That's it, believing that you've got it, that it's yours, that it belongs to you. And honey, if there's one thing the thief wants to steal, kill, and destroy from every believer, it's perfect health. And Jesus is up there saying, just reach out and take it. Scooch up in my daddy's lap and take it. And He's telling us in a loving, confident voice, because my brothers and sisters, there is no disease, there is no problem, there is no sickness that is bigger than your God. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that has healed. You know, the angel Raphael that He sent down, talks about the angel Raphael, means healing, healing. Jesus Christ paid for our healing with His blood. He was that gentle lamb without spot or blemish that went to the slaughter so that you and I could enjoy the more than abundant life today with forgiveness of sins and healing mentally, physically, emotionally, and every other way in our body. Turn to Isaiah 53. We're going to read in Isaiah 53:5 in just a second that by Jesus' stripes we are healed. But when God writes about our healing in the New Testament in 1 Peter, he says, by whose stripes you were healed. Man, we got to get this in our mind. It is a done deal. It is a past tense. It is in our account. We can write the check off the bank of heaven, signed in red ink by the blood of Jesus Christ, for whatever healing we need, whenever we need it. He never says no. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, speaking of Jesus Christ, this is what he allowed himself to go through. He didn't have to go through it. He chose to go through it for you and for me. He is despised and rejected of men. Can you imagine having done nothing but good for your whole ministry, and the next thing you know, you're beaten to a pulp? And you're standing on a bema with Pilate next to you, and the whole crowd, like ravening wolves, are standing in front of you with spittle flying from their mouth in vengeance, with the demons of hell possessing that crowd saying, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. This man who had done nothing, this man who had done nothing but go about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. You know, this blows my mind that the first thing that God shows here in verse 3 is how Jesus dealt with our emotional pain, which is where our sicknesses come from. Our emotional pain, our believing, our negative thinking, our toxic thoughts. And yet he was acquainted with sorrow and acquainted with grief. I remember one day I was grieving. I think I'd lost a loved one who had gone to be with the Lord. And I read that verse and I just wailed. And I thought, oh my goodness, Jesus knew and knows what I'm going through right now. He knows the depth of grief that a human being experiences. And it just comforted me. I knew he got it. He understood. And it says in verse 4, surely he's borne or carried our griefs, those things that have just torn us up inside, and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Was he smitten of God? No. He allowed himself to carry out God's will, but he was smitten of the devil. He was tormented of the devil. He was beaten of the demons. He was crucified by the murder spirits. But he was wounded, wounded, wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement or the payment or the punishment of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, that beaten, torn, demolished body that says it didn't even resemble a man anymore, we are healed. We are healed. Do you see how he gets us there? Spiritually, emotionally, mentally, in our soulish life, in our physical life, all of that is taken care of in the crucifixion. Man, oh man, boy. Jesus saw the relationship between sickness and sin. He saw how the soul was caught in the middle like a sandwich squished on both sides. And he took care of every bit. He made it available for us to have remission of sins, which gets us filled with the Spirit of God. He made it available for our soul to be healed, the hurts and pains of our heart, so we didn't have to carry around this damaged interior our whole life, where the devil could keep knocking at the door and opening it and getting to us through our emotions. He did everything to heal every scintilla in your body. Let me tell you something right here, folks. This is in your syllabus. You need to see this. There is no disease or germ or ailment, no matter how big or how small, that can withstand the power of the living Christ who lives in your physical body. You have got power from on high living between the cells of your body. You can talk about T cells and whatever kind of cells and red cells and white cells. Honey, I'm talking about God cells. I'm talking about the very life of God that lives in your physical body. God alone is the giver of life with a capital L, a capital I, a capital F, and a capital E. And in Isaiah 53, man, it took me years to see the whole package is in here. He opened the door for us to be spiritually whole. He opened the door for us to be emotionally and mentally and in our soulish life whole. He opened the door for us to be physically whole, body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit, all taken care of in Isaiah 53. Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he never opened his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He never complained. He never tried to get out of it. The only couple of times he really spoke, you know, it was to recognize the fact that he was the king and his kingdom was not of this world. And from the cross, he invited the malefactor into the kingdom that day to be with him in the future, and he forgave his tormentors. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What an example. What an object lesson. It says in the epistles that we are not our own. We're bought with a price. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, look at the price that your abundant life cost God. Look at the price it cost Jesus Christ. You know what? If I went to a restaurant, and let's say I had a ministry function, and I had 7 or 8 of my friends there, and we were having meal together, and it was $200 or whatever it costs now, and it was $200, $250, whatever, and a friend came along and paid the tab, and paid it and gave a generous tip and paid everything for that meal to be paid in full. And I came along and somebody said, well, you know, Sammy already paid for your meal. It's already paid in full. And I'm like, and here I am down to my last $300. And I say, yeah, but I got to pay for it. No, I got to pay for that. I've got to pay for it. And I paid for it twice. I mean, you kind of sit there and scratch your head and go, what's her problem? Why can't she receive what Sammy gave her? Boink. You're bought. Your healing is bought. Your forgiveness is bought. Your sound mind is bought. Most of us believe our eternal life is bought. All we got to do is we're already on the train. We don't have to do anything about that. But this other stuff, we have to believe it to appropriate it in the practical realm. And folks, God takes care of his own. He paid the tab. He purchased us through Jesus Christ everything we needed for the more than abundant life. It says in Psalm 107, verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Anything that takes us down, anything that would make us less in life. He sent his word. He sent his plan for man. Well, who was part of that plan? God saw before the foundations of the world what we were going to need and provided for those needs through his Son, Jesus Christ. We are a purchased possession. You know what I do with my possessions? I take care of them. I clean them. I wax them. I polish them. I don't leave them outside to rust. I take care of things, and I'm a human being. How much more Does God take care of you when you just recognize, that it's already yours, past tense? Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, please. In verse 22, it's talking about Jesus again. He never sinned. He did this for our sin, our imperfection. Who did not sin, neither was guile ever found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, his Father. Who his own self carried, took our sins in his own body on the tree, the cross, that we, being dead to sins, brought out from, like when he yelled, Lazarus, come forth. Man, when you got born again, you got brought out of that dead man's tomb into a new life, an abundant life, a spiritual-filled life. Now that we're dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Get with God's program. Quit living for yourself. Live for Him. By whose stripes you were healed, past tense. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now woken up. You're returned to the shepherd and the bishop of your soul. That word bishop there is that one like the shepherd with the crook to keep away the enemy. The first shepherd is the one with that little hook to bring you in when you're straying. All about that little calf in the stall. All terms of endearment. All showing you how lovingly and tenderly your Heavenly Father wants to take care of you. I know some of us had really bad experiences with a mommy or daddy growing up. We had a parent that wasn't the best. Folks, God will help you put off that image and put on the image of what a father really looks like. Put on an image of what He is as your Abba Father. Tender, loving, kind, generous, always there for you, always ready to listen, always hears your heart's desire, so that when we get our mind in this mindset, we realize that living in help, being in help, should become our new normal. This is the evidence of the new man created by God in Christ Jesus to give you a new life, a better life, a more abundant life, as in John 10:10, as in 3 John 2. But our job is to feel Him rising up with healing in His wings, just to fall back and relax into Daddy's arms and believe that all the things that God said in His Word regarding you are yea and amen. By His stripes you were healed. Yeah, maybe you've missed it for a while. I've certainly missed it at times, but that doesn't mean we give up. It means we keep coming back. We keep swinging for the fences, and we reach out and we take our Father's hand and we turn our troubles over to our loving Heavenly Father, and we let Him take care of us. We trust in Him more than the five senses. We walk out on the fullness of His promises today, and we start to live in help, saying, Lord, I believe. Lord, I receive. Every sickness and every disease dealt with on the cross. When people talk about things being under the blood of Jesus, this is exactly what they mean. The blood of Jesus Christ paid for it all. It says back, I think it's Leviticus 11:17 or 17:11. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And Jesus shed His blood for our spiritual, our mental, and our physical life, more abundant life. And there's some of you right now listening to this that are sick. Bless your heart. And I have to tell you, this is right from God's lips to your heart. Sickness itself is not sin. Sickness itself is not sin. Sickness is a temptation for you to sin. It is a temptation for you to doubt or to blame God for your condition. Now, if you blame God, that would be sin. That would be broken fellowship. But you know what sickness is? It's the weakness of our flesh. We are not perfect. Again, that's why God gave us gifts, plural, of healing, because He knew we were going to need it. Some of us need it a lot more than others, and that's okay. Can you hear me say that? That's okay. You can go to God a million times for healing, and that's okay. Now, we know that healing the sick is God's perfect will because of what we've just read from Isaiah 53 and 1 Peter 2. And we know that every born-again believer's complete healing was paid for by Jesus Christ. But people, there's no shame in having something go wrong or having a need in your body, because we live in a fallen world. We live in a place that is so negative and so surrounded. I mean, for most of us, it's amazing we've made it as far as we have. I know without the power of God, I would have been dead at 21. I would have been dead at 45. I would have been dead about 3 years ago. And I'm still kicking, because it's a fight. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. The spirits, the demons, they're out there for your soul. And Jesus Christ is standing in the gap, ready to deliver, ready to protect at a moment's notice. But the goal, the target, is for us to recognize that sickness and disease have no place in the believer. Satan can only put his pain upon us through his lies and deception to get us to doubt God's love for us or to question God's ability in us. Look at Matthew chapter 11, please. In verse 24, Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, you need when you pray, believe that you receive them," or have received them is the word, "and ye shall have them." People say to me, "Well, how do I know if I'm believing?" Well, there it is in Matthew 11, 24. You'll have it. Honey, if you don't have it, you're not believing. If it's something you ask for that's according to the will of God, you haven't gotten to that place where you've just believed to receive. And again, don't shame yourself. Don't condemn yourself. Ask God to help you get to that place where you're believing. Ask God to work in your heart, to bring a thought, a verse, someone to call you on the phone, talk to you, invite you out for coffee that will say words, that something will click and help you get to that place where you can believe for it. Man, we need to do more work and less condemnation. We need to quit condemning ourselves so doggone much and start just pressing harder into the Word. Satan wants you to miss the mark and condemn yourself. God says, pick up your hands and hang down at feeble knees and fight another round. He says just the opposite. He says, don't condemn yourself. Don't give up. Can you imagine if a baseball player quit every time they'd missed or struck out? Can you imagine if a professional athlete quit the sport every time they lost a game? But man, what is it that separates the winners from the losers? And you and I both know this is true. It's that one who can fumble the football, and the very next play, man, their mind is back in the game and they intercept a pass for a touchdown or however it's played. But you get what I'm saying? The real winners in sports are the ones who can take a tumble, who can blow it, and who can get right back in the game, stronger than ever. That's it, people. That's where we need to be. Quit whining about what you're not doing and ask God to help you do what you can do. In Matthew verse 9:23, Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe." We're going to look at this one in detail later on in the class. All things are possible. And you know what that "all things are possible" means? All things are currently available. Currently available. What things? Any thing according to God's word. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And that's why I spent so much time in the first few sessions teaching that healing is the absolute will of God for every child of God. God would that all natural men would be healed. He would that they would all come to Christ and have eternal life. His will doesn't change. Our receptivity changes. That's why we have to discipline our thinking to recognize that all things are currently available to who? To him that believes. People, God never meant for the believer to be sick and full of pain all the days of his life. But he also never meant for the believer to conquer sin and sickness by their own goodness. He meant for us to conquer them by the accomplished work of Jesus Christ, by trusting and relying on God's word, God's promise, and the power of the living God, His Holy Spirit that lives within us. God wants all of His children to be in health, in health. And I know there's some people out there right now thinking, well, Peg, what about doctors? Okay, let's talk for a second about them. I don't want to belabor this point, but folks, this is the way I see it. Here's about doctors. The way I see it is first aid. You know, when you have a first aid kit in your closet, you cut your finger, you scrape your knee, you go to the closet, you get the Bactine, you get the Band-Aid, whatever. First aid, really, for the believer is when we have a need. I don't care whether it's physical, mental, financial, personal. First aid is we go directly to God. We go directly to God and claim the promise. That's first aid. To me, I call it second aid when you go to a like-minded believer to help you get there. Maybe you see it, maybe you want it, maybe you can visualize it, but you can't quite get your mind wrapped around it. You're kind of beat down in the situation. And that's us pulling together as a family. But I always call doctors third aid. You know, if we don't have the believing to do the first two, the first aid or the second aid, there are many good and godly physicians and chiropractors and healers out there who can help you. I'm going to be the first one to say I've got a lot of friends who are alive today because of good doctors. But here's the bottom line. All genuine healing comes from God. I don't care if it comes from a doctor. I don't care if it comes from an herb. I don't care if it comes from ministering of healing. If it heals you, God designed it. God designed it. Now, God's primary will is that we would be able to go directly to Him and just, boom, be in health. We have established that. But there is no shame in second aid, and there's definitely no shame in third aid. God's going to work with us where we are, but all I can say is if you do go to a doctor, then believe God for that, to go to the right person who's not going to give you stuff that's going to make you worse. And even in that, you need to walk by the Spirit and say, Father, how do I deal with this? And here's the other thing. If you do go to God to get to minister to yourself, or you do go to another person to get ministered to, you don't just walk in your medicine cabinet, throw all your medicine away. You know, there's a difference in being spiritual and being stupid. And the way I see it is if you're on medication for something and you get healed of it, you can go and they'll give you the test and it will show you don't need it anymore. That part of you is well. I've had people get themselves in a lot of trouble because one person prayed for them and they threw everything away and they were in the soup. Conversely, I've had, you know, people get ministered to and God really works on their heart. You need to get off this. And they go and work in concert with someone, the physician who worked with them, and they work themselves off of it so that they don't have to take that medication anymore. But people, there's a difference in being stupid and being spiritual. And I never tell people to throw away their medication. I tell them to do it under supervision to make sure that you believed to receive, and it's not just wishful thinking. So here we have God's primary will. Look, God just wants you blessed. If God didn't want you blessed, besides, you know, going directly to Him, He would have never put healing herbs and plants and wonderful people that are healers on this earth to help one another. Good doctors, good chiropractors, good healers, they are of God, people. They bless mankind. So don't throw out the baby with the bathwater, okay? But, you know, I got to be honest with you. In my life, I'd rather keep that to a minimum because I know the goal for me is to be in health. And that's what I'm aiming for. Will I hit the mark every time? Probably not. And there's no shame in that. We just keep on keeping on, doing our best with where we are and trusting God to receive more and more every day. The main thing is that you love yourself. The main thing is you don't walk around in condemnation, because when you're condemning yourself, it's almost impossible to receive from God. When condemnation is this big monkey blocking the door, it's almost impossible to receive from God. I guess He could through mercy. But folks, the main thing is just to keep a tender heart, not only towards God, but love yourself, for goodness gracious. Give yourself a break. Give yourself a break. I tell you, you're going to get healed a lot quicker when you get off your case. But here's what's the most important of anything I'm going to say in this little section right here. However you get your healing, people with hope get well, people in despair do not. People with hope get well. People that stay in despair, they don't. So we want to put our hope in the living God, that whether we get our healing through first aid, second aid, walking by the Spirit in third aid, that however we get it, we praise God for any day we wake up 6 feet above the dirt. That our hope is in the living God above all else, that He will guide you. He will deliver you. You just put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water. You put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. You look unto Jesus, who already died on this earth, got beat to a pulp so that you could be free from every sickness, every anxiety, every disease. Because people, when you get off your case and you fill yourself with hope that God loves you no matter where you are, your chances of getting well have gone up exponentially. And so the important question here is, how do we minister healing? How do we minister healing? Okay, it's God's will for us to be healed. We know it's God's will for every believer in that case to know how to minister healing. One of the 9 manifestations we read in 1 Corinthians 12. And the number one thing, it's the self-same God that works in every believer to do the miracles, to do the healing, to give you the speaking in tongues, the inspiration, to give you the interpretation. All the manifestations work the exact same way. You do the believing, it's your operation, and God supplies the wisdom, the power, the knowledge, the words, whatever it is, that comes from God. So we minister by revelation, never by analyzing. Jesus once in a while asks somebody, well, how long have they been in this state or what happens? But very rarely. 9 times out of 10, Jesus just looked at the person, got the revelation, and spoke. And we do it with confidence and with authority, not with trepidation, because everything is under our feet. When we are in the mindset of, I'm taking the place of Jesus Christ, everything is under your feet. You know what the average believer does? And I say this with sorrow. They pray, when you ask them to minister to you, they pray what I call spaghetti prayers. They just throw a bunch of things out there to see if anything sticks. They just throw a bunch of stuff out there like spaghetti. You know, they say, you know it's done if you throw it against the refrigerator and it sticks. Never tried that. Honey, God didn't give you His Spirit to pray spaghetti prayers. He gave you His Spirit so that you could minister healing with accuracy and with authority. I remember that time I was at a conference in Alabama with Chris, and I was very sick at the time, and I'd gone there specifically to be in an atmosphere of believing. And after the first day or whatever, I was getting very discouraged and thinking, is this the right place for me? And I know I'd gotten some calls from my family that morning that my father was real sick and Satan was tempting me, you know, you need to leave and go home. And it turned out my dad wasn't even sick, but I mean, I was just getting hammered. And about 11:30 that morning, I was getting ready to walk out. I was just so beat down and tired. And the man who was ministering healing was up at the front of the stage. I don't know how many people were there, 400, 500 people. And I was heading out the back door, and the man said from the stage, there's a woman in here who's gone the natural route or the medicinal route, and it hasn't worked, and she knows she's got to get her healing spiritually. And that was exactly what I'd been praying that morning. And it hit me like a bucket of water. I turned around. I stood at the back of the auditorium, the big room, and all these people were up closer to him raising their hands, and he looked right over the crowd, and he pointed straight at me, and he said, that's the woman back there. You know what that was, people? That's accuracy. That's sharp. That's the Spirit of God working through him. And you know why God did it that way? To boost my believing. Not to build my faith. I had the faith of Jesus Christ all along. He needed to boost my believing. He worked with me where I was. He heard my cry and he set me free. Not in a way I saw it coming, but in the way he designed. And by the time I got up to the front and that man laid his hands on my head, I knew there was no disease, no germ, no ailment, no matter how big or how small, that could withstand the power of the living God being released into my physical body. Bam! And Matthew 10:7 says, as ye go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And here's the command to all of God's children. Heal the sick. Not some of you, all of you. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely you have received. Freely what? Give. Honey, if he's telling you to give it freely, is he going to give it any other way than freely? Man, oh man, oh man. I'm telling you, some of you are getting healed right this second. Verses of scripture are coming to your mind and boom, you're getting healed listening to this right now on this teaching. It's becoming living and real to you, and you're recognizing you can reach up into Daddy's cookie jar and he's got your treat. He's got your healing. He's got your deliverance right there. It's closer than your very breath. It's yours for the taking. And how do we heal? You know, that verse is for, I don't think I've ever cleansed a leper, but everything else I've done. I've healed the sick, I've raised the dead, I've cast out demons, and it's duck soup. As long as your mind is off of yourself and on to him. I've been having a horrible day, and somebody will call me out of the blue and say, so-and-so's in critical condition, boom, boom, boom. And man, it's like I flip a switch, and boom, I am out of peg, and I'm into Jesus. I have trained myself to just be out of peg and into Jesus. And it works according to something called the great principle. The great principle. The great principle. And here it is. You are filled from stem to stern with Holy Spirit. So God has an open hotline to you where he can speak to you anytime, any day, anywhere. We are the ones that have to switch over and listen to what he's saying. Turn our receiver on. So the great principle is simply this, my friends. God, who is spirit, God's spirit, teaches instantaneously in a nanosecond, zip, zip, faster than electricity. God's spirit teaches his creation in you, which is now your spirit. It belongs to you. It's yours. No one has it but you. And your spirit instantaneously teaches your mind, and it becomes manifested or evidenced in the senses realm when? A day later? No. As you act. Boom. Right away. Booms quick. You know, today we have computers and some of them are so fast you put in a Google search and wham, it's up there in a second. You think Google is faster than God? You think Google can do more than God? No, 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 1,000 times no. So God, who is spirit, teaches his creation in you, which is now your spirit. And let me just say, you know I had many talks with VP Wirral about this. We both believe that you actually can sense the spirit working somewhere in your solar plexus. I don't know why, but you can sense it. And I know from other places in the Word that it talks about the spirit working through your heart, which would make perfect sense. That area of you that generates that life from the center of your body. It comes in, it's already in you, and God speaks to it, and it teaches your mind, and then it becomes evidence in the senses realm as you act. So what is the manifestation of gifts of healing? We looked at this earlier, but now it's going to mean more to you because you've got more healing and teaching under your belt. The manifestation of gifts of healing is your operation of the God-given ability whereby you can absolutely, in the authority and name of Jesus Christ, and by operating the manifestations of believing, bring to pass healing according to what God has revealed to you, according to what God has revealed to you, according to what God has revealed to you via word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. Sometimes you discern spirits and it tells you a Holy Spirit's in there, or an angel's in the room, or different things. It's not always demons. But here's the ticket, folks. Who takes the place of the absent Christ? Not the Word, not just the Holy Spirit, but the believer takes the place of the absent Christ. It is you taking the place of Jesus Christ here upon earth. And boy, if you wait till you feel like Jesus to do it, you'll never do it. You're never going to feel that good about yourself. You're never going to feel as good about you as you love Him. He was perfect. It's beyond that. It's you recognizing you take the place of Jesus because God said, go forth and preach the kingdom. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely you've received what? Freely give. That's why you take the place of Jesus, because your daddy empowered you. He didn't do it by your good looks. He didn't do it by your intellect. He didn't do it because you're so doggone spiritual in the morning. You're so prayer. He did it because he needs you and you need him. He needs you to spread his word. You need him to live the word. He needs you to go forth preaching the kingdom. You need him to be healed and to live the abundant life and then to share what you've got with others. It is a mutual love circle. It is a mutual admiration society. Gosh, just start believing in yourself a little bit as big as God believes in you and you will move mountains. This verse right here in Matthew 10 we covered shows me God believes in me. Man, I look in the mirror, and if I want to focus on it, I can see all my faults, all my failures, everything I've done wrong for 60 plus years. Or I can look in the mirror, and I can see the glory of the Lord looking back at me. I can look into the mirror of my heart, and I can focus on who God made me to be in Christ Jesus. Get off the works bandwagon. Get on the inheritance bandwagon. You know, people that get these giant fortunes given to them monetarily, some take it out and squander it. Some take it out and never use it. Some people take it out and abuse it. Some people take it out and use it for good. But the point is, they all got it the same way, by inheritance. The question is, what do they do with it? What do you do with it? Honey, this is not something you earn. It's something you inherited and you operate. The discipline is in the operation, not in the receiving. The discipline is in the operation. You've already received it in Christ Jesus. Now it's your operation. And so what is the manifestation of believing talked about in 1 Corinthians 12? You got to operate the manifestation of believing every time you heal. The manifestation of believing is your operation of the God-given ability. It's already in you, whereby you may believe to bring to pass the impossible. At your command. Honey, when you speak healing to a body without any other outside influence, that's bringing to pass the impossible. According to what God has revealed to you by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. And here's one of the parts I love about that manifestation of believing. It also inspires believing in others. You noticed it's not called the manifestation of faith, but that's what it does. It taps into the faith, the perfect faith of Jesus Christ that's already in you, but it's at that moment a supercharged believing on your part, supercharged by the Spirit of Christ in you, along with your desire to operate the God-given ability, boom, and it is for healing, it is for deliverance, it is for signs, miracles, and wonders that also cause others to believe. Believe who? God. And when you operate it, it is the knowing awareness within that at your command, what you have commanded shall absolutely come to pass in the name, the authority of Jesus Christ. You don't bring to pass miracles without the manifestation of believing. When do miracles happen? Miracles happen when you believe, when a believer literally believes to take the place of Jesus Christ here upon earth at that point in time. Honey, it's your birthright. It's your inheritance. It is in you. You can let it sit there. You can use it for wrong. You can. People do it. Or you can say, my goodness, why am I letting all this sit in there and gather dust? Man. Whew. You know what I'd do if I were you? I'd start practicing. I'd start with myself, man. If you got something wrong, I would start claiming God's healing for whatever it is you need at this point in time in your life. You know what else I do? If somebody in your family, especially a believer, has a need, I would see if they would allow you and be like-minded with you to practice ministering healing to those that you love, those in your family. Work with one another. Learn how to do it. Do you not know anybody who has a need? You may have to precede it. If they don't know a lot about the Bible, you may have to precede it, telling them a little bit about the kingdom of God, about Jesus came to heal them. But it's like bike with the training wheels. If you don't get up and practice, you're never going to learn how to take the training wheels off. I can tell you one thing, you're not going to make them any sicker. Now, if somebody's possessed, you don't want to go laying hands suddenly on some man and have that spirit sock you. But outside of that, you know, get out there and practice. Again, people say, well, what if it doesn't work? And I'm going to come right back at you and say, what if it does? Man, you get a couple of great deliverances under your belt, and you know what that does? It just takes you to the next level. It just takes you to the next level. It blesses you. It makes you see what is currently available by the power of God that lives within you. So I'll just close reminding you of this verse in Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 and 8. This is what every lovely believer has been called to do. And as you go, preach. Preach. The number one thing God wants is people in His family. He wants everybody to have eternal life. He wants all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth and to be healed. Go forth and preach. Preach like there's no tomorrow, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and God is going to confirm that word with signs following. You heal the sick. You cleanse the lepers. You raise the dead. You cast out devils. Why, brothers and sisters? Because freely, freely, freely you have received, freely give.